Welcome to the Cool Tools Show. I'm Mark Frauenfelder, Editor-in-Chief of Cool Tools, a website of tool recommendations written by our readers. You can find us at cool-tools.org. I'm joined by my co-host, Kevin Kelly, founder of Cool Tools. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's great to be here.
In each episode of the Cool Tools Show, Kevin and I talk to a guest about some of his or her favorite uncommon and uncommonly good tools they think others should know about. Our guest this week is Robert Stevens. Robert is the founder of The Geek Squad and the former CTO of Best Buy. The Geek Squad turns 25 this year, employing over 24,000 people. A native of Chicago, Robert now lives in the Bay Area. He's read the Cool Tools book back to back at least five times. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Hi, gentlemen. Nice to see you again.
Yeah, it's really great to have you back. Thanks for coming on our little podcast.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been 5 years since you've been on the last time. But and I remember your picks well, especially the flower press.
Yeah, you know, I really went off the rails on that one. This time I decided to go a little bit more accessible for the audience. I just heard the MG Sigler one you guys did, and shout out to MG. I tried that app that he had, so that was a great one, and I'm happy to be on here again.
So tell us about what you're excited by, a tool that you're a favorite of yours these days.
Well, I looked at your last ones, I looked at my last one, and I tried to come up with stuff that's kind of useful but also unique. And so the theme of my recommendations are let's go take a trip. And I know you both like to travel. I'm always seeing photos of you and your travels. So the first one I have is a product that actually just came out and is just coming out from a Kickstarter project. And this one is from the folks at Studio Neat in Austin, Texas. I think it's Dan and Tom are their names. And they just come up with the best handmade design stuff. And this one is the Mark One pen. It's a custom machined all metal retractable pen with a ceramic based exterior coating. And, you know, I get most people might think of 99% of all of communication now is electronic. It makes sense to throw everything out of your kitchen drawer, but maybe keep one pen, and this is that pen.
Very nice. No logo on it. That's what I like. It's really beautiful.
So if you describe it, it looks kind of like it's a black crayon, a black stick. It's just, or a white, I guess it comes in two colors.
Yeah, you know, if you think about it, they designed it really, they put a lot of care into it. And if you go to the website with the link, you'll see them tell the story of this. They really tried to think, what are you looking for in a pen? Number one, you're looking for good ink and quality. And they designed this specifically to fit everybody's favorite Schmidt P812 ink refill, which you can get on Amazon pretty inexpensively. It's got a really nice feel to it. So it's designed to be easy to refill, which is key. Number two, they spent months machining, some special alloys for a satisfying click. And if you can hear that, I got the click of that pen is right there. So it's a nice audible click. And like you said, you described it as a bit of a crayon. It's a little bit thicker than a pen you're used to, which gives it a nice hand feel. And lastly, the length is just longer than about the length of your hand. So it's got a nice balance in your hand. I mean, you know, what I love about this product is it's such a basic thing we take for granted. And, you know, if you want to make an impression, a handwritten note will go a lot longer in this day and age. And this is the pen I recommend either for yourself or for someone you know that, you know, needs to be sending more letters.
So did you go white or black?
Well, I actually went both. I backed the Kickstarter, so I just got my black. But I ordered four more for gifts, so I went with two more black because they have this beautiful copper tip. And it's just a beautiful thing. So I bought a couple more for myself. So I have a white one and a black one, and I'll give a couple as a gift. Maybe you guys will even get one in the mail. You never know.
Ooh. And it's also presented in a really beautiful cork container.
Which I have right on top of my desk. So it's a nice little thing to set it in.
Yeah.
I have one pencil, which is a mechanical Japanese one, actually, that I got out of Cool Tools book. not a plug there. I get no commission here, people. But yeah, and if you haven't been to their site, they have about five products. They make the best iPhone tripod. Actually, it works on any phone, Android as well. For an adapter. And they also make the greatest cocktail ice cube kit with an accompanying app that it's thick foam, but that's another cool tools thing. It's on their website.
Wow.
I like the idea that they don't manufacture their own innards, that they kind of take a sort of standard refill and use that as the core. That seems pretty clever to me.
And actually, if you read their blog, they were so thoughtful, and this is what I love about their work. They really designed this to last in an era where pens don't last very long. They actually, there's a link on their website to dozens of ink refills that this fits, because I also like to use the Field Notes Expedition, which is waterproof rugged notebook, but you can't write on it with regular ink. You have to use a special kind of ink for waterproof. And the one that people use, which also is in the Cool Tools catalog, is the Fisher Space Pen pressurized ink refill, which this pen also can accept. So it's very compatible.
That's great. Yeah. That's cool. Cool. Really, really great. Yeah, it's very smart.
So these are the guys that came up with the Glyph. That's
right. That was their first product. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Amazing. And so they've done some great stuff after. I'm looking at the iPad stylus that really does look like a big fat kid's crayon. It's cool stuff here.
Yeah, they're a big inspiration because they're two people in, you know, Austin, not a huge city. They've got a handful of products. I'm sure they're probably doing other work on the side, but if you keep an eye on them, they're building a really nice corpus of hand design products.
Absolutely. That's a great pick. Yeah. So not only the pen, but just everything from Studio Neat is worth your attention, I would say.
The ice cocktail kit alone is worth the cheap price they're charging for it.
I love that they have an ice cocktail kit with an accompanying app. Like, you need an app to make ice cubes.
You don't, but what it is that it's an app for cocktails. But what makes theirs unique, and you guys will like this, is that you can make your own cocktail recipe, and the app will let you compose a beautiful color image with icons. So if it's a tie ball or low ball, or it has glass or not. And the cool thing is, each card that you text somebody comes with its own custom kind of QR code, so somebody else can scan it and add that card onto their phone.
Neat.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Great.
Okay, so your next one, this kind of reminds me of the flower press a little bit. It's a kind of a bespoke item. Tell us about it.
I am a bit of a dandy, I guess. Listen, if we're gonna have a pen, you got a sense of letters. And if you're gonna have a pen that we just spent all that time talking about, you may as well have paper to match. And I'm a big fan of paper, just the textile quality. And a company near Salerno, Italy, Amatruda, they've been making paper in this area of Italy for almost probably over 1,000 years. Actually, Amatruda, you can get inexpensively on Amazon for $15. You can probably find it in your local bookstore. It's a little pack of like 10 sheets folded. It's that deckled rough edge. Just a beautiful quality with a nice watermark. And if your paper doesn't have a watermark, get some good paper. That's the first that's the first mark of quality. I made a little joke too that, you know, if blockchain uses proof of work as a way of proving trust, you know, a handwritten letter is the original proof of work.
Yeah, so, I like it.
And the nice thing is,
I love it. And the watermark is proof of work.
Oh, my goal in life is my stationery has my own monogrammed watermark. Okay,
I mean, exactly. Like,
one day you guys are gonna help me publish a book called Difficile, and it's just the world's most difficult products that have the most excruciating level of detail. So that's why I recommend that you skip the Amazon click and you go to Salerno and you go to Amatruda. Have a custom order made and have a custom watermark made. 400 meters from their place is the Museo della Carta, which is the paper museum that has original equipment that's hundreds of years old. And so when you're down there, you can write a letter to all your friends and rub it in.
So this is not quite the same thing. But it's actually not very difficult to make very simple sheets of paper. And you may be at the point of getting ready to try your hand at making paper, and you can make paper with your own watermark in it very easily. And so just making a very kind of a a thick sheet of a single sheet of paper is the easiest thing to do. I mean, the kind of where you would write it on a note or a thank you card. It gets more difficult if you're trying to make paper for a book or something that's thinner, but the kind of paper that you would have here is actually something within the realm of an amateur.
You're right. I actually took a paper class at Magnolia Editions in Oakland from the great Don Farnsworth, who's a legend. He makes a Chuck Close's paper and collaborates. But in any city that you're in, there's probably somebody nearby in a book art center that does paper making classes. I just gave my wife a Valentine after kind of giving her a crappy card last year. And I made my own paper, and that was a big hit this year. So
that's great. So this is sort of handmade paper that you can buy.
This is, I don't know if it's handmade, but it's close. But the quality of the paper is real cotton rag. And that's the mark of the best paper. It's a good start for those listening that have been thinking about it. Now they have this pen. This is the paper to write it on until you make your own.
Great.
So tell us about this next one, something I've never heard of.
Oh my gosh, this one is a breakthrough. This is one of my favorites because it's the easiest. Everybody can use it. So when you're writing your love letters from that abandoned castle you rented on Airbnb in Salerno to go get your paper, you're going to need a fire and some light to see what kind of poetry you're composing. And a friend of mine gave me this as a gift because I built him a clay oven also. And this is a wand fire starter. It's basically a metal rod. At the end of it is some kind of a pumice ceramic stone. And it's a bit porous, and you keep it in a vessel of lamp oil, odorless, smokeless lamp oil.
You mean like kerosene?
I guess that's probably the same thing. I'm going to defer to you on that.
Okay.
What you do is, whether you're lighting a grill out back or like your fireplace, you know, sometimes if you don't have the right kindling, it doesn't get going right away.
Mm.
And it's safer than newspaper because sometimes the newspaper can fly up into the chimney. So this thing, what you do is after you shake it out of the lamp oil a little bit, you roll it in the last fireplace ashes and a little bit of ashes. And what happens is the lamp oil soaks into that and becomes like a torch, like in the old Frankenstein movies. Mm. And you light it and it'll stay lit for about 20 minutes. And then it becomes easy to fish out of the fire because you leave that little metal rod hanging out. And they can run as high as $200 with the ceramic vessel. But I found one for $18 on the link. And you can get lamp oil at any hardware store. Amazon actually will ship it to you also pretty inexpensively.
It says that lamp oil is kind of a refined version of kerosene. So it's a little bit less smelly than your typical kerosene.
Yeah, I included a link to Amazon's $20 bottle of lamp oil. It's 1 gallon, mm-hmm. a pretty good price. That's what you do. So I keep it in a ceramic vessel with a lid off to the side so nobody accidentally kicks it over, but it's right next to my fireplace, and I use this every single day.
Wow. So I get the idea. So the idea is that you have this porous soak of oil and that it burns until, I guess, and then once the fire started, you take it out, and how do you put out the fire on the stick?
Let's say you're lighting a chimney of charcoal for your mm-hmm. Weber. You'd stick it underneath that little chimney and you light it. It burns out in about 5-10 minutes.
Oh, I see. You burn out the whole thing. So it's
evaporate and burn. It burns very clean, very neat. And then it's still hot when you pull it away, but you just can set it on the ground or on a brick and it'll cool down in about 10 minutes. And you can put it back in the vessel. Very simple. Again, makes an also a good gift. Like if anybody's ever grilling or have a fireplace or a fire pit, everybody should have one of these.
Right. So it's a substitute for newspaper.
That's right.
And kindling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And I find that it burns better because it provides even heat, even with 2 loads of newspaper. Sometimes you can't get sometimes a little bit damp wood to go. Mm. This is about second best to a propane torch.
Cool.
That's a good one. I've never heard of that before, and it looks really useful.
Yeah, yeah, really cool.
You guys set a high bar after all these years to come up with
Exactly, right. Things we haven't heard of, but thank you. So what's your next one, a switch?
Okay, so you're in Italy, in a castle, writing letters with your pen, and you've just lit that fire, and you're thinking, did I leave the lights on at home? Well, you would think, as the founder of Geek Squad, that I would recommend some newfangled Amazon or Google Home switch. No, that smart home stuff is dumb. Okay. With the software updates, I can't recommend it. The smart home is a mess right now. But if you think about like my pantry, my barn, my hall closet, you don't need a smart light switch in there and pay $50 for a Lutron. This one is an occupancy sensor. It's a simple motion switch with a push button, and it's got two little dials in it that you can adjust the length of time the light is on and the sensitivity and depth. And I've got five of these. They're $14 on Amazon, and they're great all over the place. In the laundry room, and my wife even said that she liked this thing, and she doesn't like anything I install in the house. Because you know why? Because she's always complaining, like, the TV turned itself on and off, or the front porch light is blinking, you know? Yeah. This thing is guaranteed to work, even if the internet disappears.
Oh, man, this is great.
Right. So I'm just trying to unravel it. So what this is a switch that has a motion sensor built into the switch that is then also has a timer that's going to run for X amount of time, which you kind of have some control over.
That's right. If you have some basic skills, you can flip off the circuit breaker, unscrew the plate, and replace the manual light switch with this one that has motion. It has a nice, beautiful, flush white button that has a dimple on it so you can see it in the dark. But what's nice is that when you walk into your laundry room or your garage, the light will come on, and on average, I set it for about 4 minutes. And it has a little tab that covers up the two dials so nobody's messing with it. It works great. I don't know what happened, but somehow, as soon as I became a parent, suddenly electricity became this scarce resource, and I shout at my children constantly to turn off the damn bathroom light. So guess what I did? We don't fight anymore. When they were gone one day, I just went in and wired up one of these. Now their bathroom shuts itself off, and I somehow feel calmer now.
Right. Those habits die hard. I have a friend who went totally solar, and he still goes around turning off all the lights.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Because it was just like, that's what fathers do, is they go around turning off lights. this sounds great. I know that a lot of light bulbs these days you can get light bulbs that have this motion sensor built into the bulb, but that may not always work. And having them built into the switch is a good alternative as well.
Yeah, I think with the bulb, you know, number one, the heat of a bulb creates questionable performance on electronics. Two, I think adjusting it, or sometimes if it's in an enclosure, that can be tricky as well. So this one works wonderful because it's usually aiming in the direction that you would be near the switch anyway.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's a great find. And among, is this this top greener is the one that we see a link for. Is this, are there multiple brands? Is there anyone better than the other? Or do you have any knowledge about the manufacturers of these?
Well, this one is the one I specifically have in my home. And I believe I found this one based on another online well-known site. That I also see. So this one seems to be also recommended. The reviews are good. And it's also the best priced one. There are other ones like more expensive or cheaper, but this one I've had zero problems with, and I have a nose for things that break.
Right. And this is about $14.
That's right. A great price.
That's great.
I'm getting some of these definitely. I have two teenage daughters, so.
Yeah, I use a lot of smart things in my home and lighting and other and things like that. But it's also caused me to ask, wait a minute, do I really need to make it smart? I actually think the future is dumb. I'm really excited about dumb products, and this is my favorite dumb product.
Yeah, non-connected.
Yeah, I like to say, like, anything smart means is also hackable.
Exactly. If the Chinese or the Russians can hack this, they're welcome to mess with my closet light.
All right. Well, so you have a bonus one for us.
I have a bonus one for you, and that is this is an app. I can't believe it really hasn't existed until now, but it does. And I almost started a company to make this, but it's called TouchNote.
Oh, wow!
And this is the scenario. This is the use case for everybody. You've just had an amazing weekend or a great dinner with friends, and we've all filling up our camera roll with stuff. And I don't even have a photo printer because it's too much of a pain in the butt. This is an app that simply will let you select any photo on your phone in the moment before you even get home that night. and you can send a postcard or a nice greeting card with that photo with different fonts, and they'll do postage. And I think all in it's $3 to $5, and you prepay like 5 or 10 cards at a time. But you can send a card to anybody. I just spent a great weekend with friends out of town, and we took some amazing photos, and all 10 people are getting a card in about 3 days from me. And I'm going to appear as the most thoughtful person ever in record time.
Wow.
So does the app also suck in your address from your contacts?
Oh, it's wonderful, because it doesn't suck in your address. What I like is that when you tell it who to send it to, you can let it search your contact and choose it from your address book. It does not upload your contacts to
the
cloud.
Right.
I sent myself a card the first time just to test it, to look at the envelope, to look at the postmark. I was super impressed. It's actually a UK company. And so this one gets my seal of approval. I think the pricing is very good. And I actually just bought like a year's worth, where you get like 5 free cards a month. And I suppose I can find 5 people a month to send nice cards to. But they have smaller, affordable plans, and you can do it all on your phone. That's what I like. No ink, no nothing, no stamps.
That is genius. Because you're right that these days the most sort of precious commodity is, you know, something on paper that goes through the mail. Because you still get junk mail, but you don't get white mail. You don't get mail that you want. And then when you do, it's such a little joy.
Right. I mean, listen, for that special someone, you brought them on this trip to Italy. But for those next inner circle of people, they get the Amatruda handwritten Mark I pen. Okay. But for everyone else that you don't want to leave out, you can send them a nice color card of photos of you touring Italy and rub it in. And you get to customize a message. Their fonts are really good quality. And the nice thing is you get push notifications when the card has been printed, when the card has been dropped in the mail, with an estimate of when it arrives.
And this is called Touch Note. And the pricing was, like you say, you buy 5 cards ahead, and it's like basically per card.
You can buy per card. You can buy a 5-pack. They have different pricing levels. Okay. So like if you're a business person and you're sending a lot of correspondence, what I like about this though is that it lets you know, a lot of these photos are just piling up in our camera roll, and we're really never going to look at them again. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those photos, other people would be interested in. I actually think it'll change how people act at events. If you know you have this ability, I'm more likely to take photos with people. Mm-hmm. And then I'm able to give them a gift of the memory.
So, Robert, for a super bonus, are you using anything like a digital frame to display photographs in your home, or is that too smart for you?
No, I'm just not happy with it. Number one, it's the closest. You know what we're using is really because we have Apple TV hooked up in the living room, and everybody has an iPhone in the home. The AirPlay right from your phone is so low friction now that if we're sitting there and we want to show a video or a photo, it's so easy. In fact, we're streaming local TV on Apple TV through YouTube TV. So literally, if I show my wife a video or an image on Twitter, it pauses the television, throws up the image, and then goes back as soon as I stop sharing the screen. And that feels a lot better. But no, if I want something special, I'll have it actually printed and framed on the wall.
Okay. All right. I'm looking for one, and I was looking for suggestions, and you seem like you might know about that given what you just said. But that makes sense that our TVs are becoming kind of our digital frames in some ways.
Yeah, I think, you know what? I think with the advent of these new foldable screens that you're seeing, mm-hmm. that's going to finally hark the coming of, I think what we all would really want is something as thin as a sheet of paper that you can literally thumbtack on the wall, that almost ambiently derives enough power from the light in the room, needs no cord. And, you know, it's got to compete with a printed photo. And then you should be able to tile these fabric screens and create collages. That's when I think we'll do that. But I think we're probably another 10 years off.
Yeah. In China, I did see a screen that was a color movie screen that was as thin as a piece of paper. And it's sort of mind-boggling.
Wow.
It was simply just, it gave me goosebumps. Oh, now, it wasn't running off of air and ambient electricity, but it was as thin as a piece of paper, and you could, and it had a movie running on it. And it was like, whoa, that's not yet ready to be stuck on our wall. But as you said, within a decade, I think it would be.
Yeah, this is not one of those two-decade predictions, but I would argue the criteria has to be, it has to be as good or better than paper, which means no power, no cord, no firmware updates, no hackability, no Wi-Fi password reset, and I can put a thumbtack through it, you know, and there's no battery or anything, and that I think is going to be a ways off.
I would agree. If ever.
Those are some hard specs.
I know.
Engineering
that's,
team.
That's went. Why if you refer to the previous episode, your next best bet is to make your own paper, get an Altoids tin, and do some watercolor of an image. Because frankly, that just looks better anyway.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, this is wonderful.
Robert, it's always great to have you on. We're gonna, now it's got to be fewer than or less than 5 years before we have you on again.
Because I'm sure you have a bunch of other ones that you can share with us, and certainly you will later on. But this has been a real pleasure. Thanks again for introducing us to all these cool stuff, and really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you for having me on. I hope it's not another 5 years, and I hope actually before I come on Cool Tools again that the three of us collaborate on some kind of project together.
Absolutely.
I would love to.